the greatest examples is in Romans chapter 4. Abraham, called the friend of God, friend of God, friend of God. A man who experienced enough difficulties on his own, and God spoke to him, and he said, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Call those things which do not exist as though they did. It is imperative that we learn to speak heaven language. The language of heaven. The language of heaven is a life language. It's life. It's life. Jesus said, I came to give them life and life more abundantly. I was saying to someone earlier, I read this last night. It's somewhat horrifying, to be honest, but it was done in the 90s. It was a survey done in the churches, the born-again churches, the born-again churches in the United States. And when they went into the churches, they asked questions about the Bible, and 50%, that's 50% of the people could not name the first book of the Bible. 50%. Two-thirds of the people they talked to could not name the four Gospels. And I'm sorry, I can't remember what the percentage was, but it was equally horrifying. A number of people thought the Sermon on the Mount was someone sitting on a horse giving a talk. This is church people, not people who don't go to church. These are the born-again churches that they went to. And you can see the condition that the church is in. That we desperately, desperately need a revival in our hearts. And it starts with a commitment to stir ourselves up in God, to stir ourselves up. If you're not under attack now, I promise you the day will come that you will be. There will be times in your life where you will be desperate and you will need a miracle from God. And only the Word, only the Word. The Word is a living Word. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they're spirit and they're life. In other words, they're spiritual words. They're not ordinary vocabulary, but they're spiritual words, and they're filled with the life power of God. So that when they are planted or implanted into your spirit, and they have to be planted, what will happen is they will begin to produce whatever is being planted. But it's up to you and me. We've got to stir ourselves. The church needs you. The people around you need you. The city of Ottawa needs you. If we don't stand, if we don't take a stand against the things of the devil, he will overrun us. He will overrun us. And too often the people of God think someone else will do it. Or God's in control. God will take care of this. But I think I told you that I have six scriptures of intercession where in three of them the people did not respond and calamity resulted because God couldn't do anything. And in the other three, the people did respond and God was able to turn the situation around. Here they are. In Isaiah 59:16, there was no intercessor and disaster came. In Ezekiel 22:30, there was no one to stand in the gap. Disaster came. In Jeremiah 5:1, there was no one to stand in the gap and bring God's pardon. And disaster came. But then Numbers 16:48, Moses and Aaron stood in the gap for the people, and disaster was averted. In Numbers 25:7 on, Phinehas stood in the gap, and disaster was averted. In Exodus 32:30, Moses interceded for the people. Your prayers are critical. They're critical. They're critical. Even the unsaved, we look at it in the book of Acts, right at the beginning here, in the book of Acts, who am I looking for? Cornelius. That's exact. Sorry? Yeah, Cornelius. He was praying. He was praying. He was praying. He was praying. He was not in the family of God, but he was still praying. He was praying. And God sent him an angel and said, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. God heard your prayers. God heard your prayers. God hears the prayers of the people. He hears them. But it sometimes takes more than one prayer. We are up against a formidable adversary. He's well organized, filled with hate, and wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy families, marriages, people's health, and bring them to hell if he can. And what you and I have been given from God is his word. His word, to stand against it. His word. And there are so many examples in Scripture. David, before he faced Goliath, he had proven himself as a faithful man to God. Not perfect, as we well know. You know, he committed adultery and he murdered somebody. And yet God still called him a man after his own heart. Because we can be forgiven. We can be forgiven. When we make mistakes, if we're sincerely repentant, God forgives and forgets. And David, when he faced him, Goliath stood there for 40 days and terrified the people. Terrified them. Just like the enemy stands against us and terrifies us and says, you got cancer, you got this, you got Alzheimer's, I'm breaking your marriage, I'm doing this, I'm taking your children to hell. There are all kinds of things that he uses, and they're very real. Goliath was real. The attacks against us, they're real. They're very, very real. But David had the habit, and here's the key, he had the habit of being with God. He had the habit of praying and communicating with God. You can't learn this on the run. And do you understand what I mean by that? That David couldn't learn this as he was running towards Goliath. He had to have a history of communing with God. A history. But your history can start today if it hasn't. It can start today. It can start today. And you begin to speak the word over yourself. You speak that word right over yourself and you say, God, I believe your word is working in me. It can start just that simple. I believe the word of God is working in me. I believe your word is changing the way I think, oh God. I believe your word is changing the way I see things. Open the eyes of my understanding that I could see. Goliath had armor on that weighed more than most people did. But the armor that David had was the armor of Ephesians 6. He had the breastplate of righteousness. He had the helmet of salvation. He had the shield of faith. And he had the sword of the Spirit. Those are the things that God's given you, given me, for the battles that we're facing. And the battles are real. They're real. You are facing real battles. And if you're not facing one today, you will at some point. That's why it's critical. It's absolutely critical that you and I soak in that word, that we soak in the word, that we take the word and we let the word change us and transform us and form us. And one of the ways we do that is calling those things that be not as though they were. Calling those, that's not lying. You're doing what God told you to do. And you say that I am strong in the Lord. I am strong in the Lord. I have the mind of Christ. I thank God that your miracle power is flowing in me. I will not allow my family member to go to hell. I bind you, Satan, that you will not kill so and so. We speak speak to the circumstance. We speak to the mountain. In Mark 11, Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Speak to it. Speak to it. How often do you hear Christians speak to the mountain? Do you ever hear them? You see, if it's in there, it comes out. If it's not coming out, it's not in there. Do you hear what I'm saying? And it's critical, because when you face, and you will, and have, I'm sure already, circumstances that are harmful, that are destructive, circumstances that will destroy your family unit, circumstances that will cause anguish and pain, if they're not dealt with, that's when we have got to look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to. I mean, it's easy to quote, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. But what's he doing in me? What's he doing? Is there any part of his word that is living in me? You see, if it's living in me, it's going to produce. It's going to produce. But if it's not living in me, it won't produce. It can't produce. It can't bring life. I can talk a blue streak, but if that word is not living in me, it's just words. Just words. Just words. And we can sound eloquent and sophisticated and everything else, but the devil knows if that word is living in you. He knows if that word is living inside of you. And if that word is not living inside of you, when you come up against him, he's not afraid. He's not afraid. He fears those who know their God. He fears them. He fears those who have taken the word and let that word become part of who they are. Those who have allowed the Holy Spirit to let the word of God work in such a way that it transforms them. Transforms them. But I'm not just speaking words. I'm releasing power. I'm releasing power. I'm releasing power. God wants you well. He wants you well. God doesn't send sickness to discipline us. He doesn't send disease or disaster. He doesn't have to. There's already an abundance of that going on. We need to let this word grow in us. The person beside you needs you to grow in God. The church needs you. We need your prayers, but not just words. Not just words. People pray words, but they're not coming out of any sense of authority. They're just words. These words have to become living words. They have to be filled with faith. Filled with faith. How do they get filled with faith? By soaking in the Word of God. By receiving with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your soul. What's your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. So not only does the Word of God heal your body, but it can heal all the bruises that have been picked up. All the painful experiences that we have experienced over time. God can heal that. The Word of God can heal that. If we allow it to. If we allow it to. But too often the medicine, it's like we go to the doctor, we get a prescription, and then we put the prescription on the desk and we don't do anything with it. We don't take it as prescribed. And the Word of God has to be taken as prescribed. How is prescribed? It's received with meekness, the implanted Word, which is able to save your soul. You begin to meditate, to soak, and to speak this word, that I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. That God's miracle power is healing my mind. It's healing my body. It's healing my soul. My soul is being healed in Jesus' name. Sickness, you can't stay in me. Devil, you're not going to rob me blind. I refuse to let this relationship be broken. I refuse. I refuse to let the enemy destroy this relationship. In Jesus' name, I speak life to it and pray and ask God for insight, because there's a strategy. There's wisdom. God has wisdom for every circumstance. There's nothing that's happened to you and I that God, you know, says, oh, geez, I never thought that would happen. Nothing. He knows everything that has happened to us. Everything. Everything that's happened. And God has a plan. He has a plan. How do you know? Because He says so. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper, not destroy. Prosper. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to prosper. When He spoke to Joshua, what was the key ingredient in his prosperity?
Not to let the word of God depart from him.
Amen. I guess we need to look at it. Not to let the word of God depart from him. God is an amazing person. Amazing person. Amazing person. He said to be strong and of good courage. The Word of God isn't for cowards. It takes courage to obey the Word sometimes. It takes real courage. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper or have success and act wisely in whatever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your ears. Right? No. No. It shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to what is written. It shall not depart from your mouth. You and I, we've got to speak the word. We've got to speak the word. We've got to speak the word. Sometimes people feel like nobody's going to tell me what to do. Well, I'm not telling you to do it. God did. And if you don't want to obey God, do not expect His blessings. He said, speak the word. He said it. God said, speak the word. When the enemy came after Jesus, what did he do? How did he respond to the devil? It is written. It is written. It is written. The devil has been, what's that word? Uber successful. Is that right? Would that be appropriate? In getting people to shut up and not speak the word. But we need to be different. We need to be different. You and I, we need to be different. We need to get in the habit of speaking the word. Just get in the habit. Get in the habit. How do you get in the habit? Well, you start. You just start. You start. How do you start? Well, I say, thank you, God, that I'm alive today. Thank God that you're God and I'm not. Thank God that you are working in me, that you are opening the eyes of my understanding. That whatever I read today, Lord, you're going to explain it to me. You're going to help me to understand it. You're going to help this word, which is living and active and powerful. You're going to help it become a part of me. I'm going to learn from this word today. I'm going to grow from this word. And you begin to speak over your circumstances. What do I mean by that? I mean, if you have sick children in your house, every day, 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 every day. Do you see a theme here? The theme is every day. You can't do it this week, but not next. Because a gap is what the enemy gets in. He gets in through the gap. So what I'm saying is every day, what do? You speak the word. The word of God says, I'm the Lord that heals you. That's your children. God, your word says that you heal my children. Heal my children. Do you know, for 2 years, I prayed over my grandson. I should have got to name them now. I got two. Joaquin. For 2 years, when I saw him, I laid hands on him. But most of the time, I didn't see him. They're not here. And I prayed over them and prayed over him. And pray every day. Every day, prayed over him that his allergy would go. It would go. Never told a soul. Just prayed over him. Took 2 years. 2 years. Not a day and a half. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Now, different circumstances call for different things. When Dave was in the hospital, that was different. But with Joaquin, there was no sense of urgency. So every day, thank God he's free of allergies. I break the power of allergies over him. I break their power in Jesus' name. I speak over him that he is filled with supernatural miracle power that is cleansing him from every form of allergy in Jesus' name. My grandson is not allergic. At that time I could say grandson, is not allergic to anything. Nothing. He has no allergies. You can't stay. You can't stay allergies. You cannot stay, because it doesn't matter what they are. You just speak the word, and you speak the word, and you speak the word. And what's happening is that God is watching that. He's watching to see what you're going to do. He's watching to see. And it works in reverse, too, by the way. I know I've told you this story about my son, David. I used to have a little pet name for him, my little warthog, and called him that for many months. And then all of a sudden, growth started to show up all over him. He wasn't too happy about that. And long story short, I did not know that I was actually speaking a curse over him. I didn't realize that. So I repented of that. And then, after we tried every medication on earth, by the way, nothing got rid of them. Nothing. And then finally I went to God. Kind of stupid, eh? Finally went to God and asked him what to do, and he said, it's your fault. You've pronounced a curse over him. You need to repent and then break it. So I did both, and then within a few days everything just disappeared and he's never had them again. So we don't have pet names like that anymore. You know, the words that we speak have a lot of power. They may not show up instantly, but over time they have a lot of power. And so you and I should only be speaking the things that we want to see come to pass. Only the things we want to see. God loves us. God loves us. And He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be healthy. But we've got to develop a mindset of faith that we are not going to receive the attacks of the enemy. We're not going to receive them. We're not going to receive them. We're not going to receive them.
Amen.
We're not going to. It takes time to develop that kind of warrior mentality, but you can do it. You can do it. But you got to do it consistently. And if you need wisdom from God, we've seen from James that God does give wisdom. We have trouble hearing Him sometimes. Why do we have trouble hearing God, do you think? We have trouble hearing Him because, well, partly we're just not tuned to His channel, you know. And it takes time to develop a listening ear. It takes time to develop. And then it takes a willingness to hear it. Not everything God said to me did I go, Yahoo. Some of the things that I've heard, I was not pleased to hear. But if I didn't hear that, I wouldn't hear this. God never speaks to us to harm us. Never. He always speaks to us for our benefit, even if it is painful at times. But it's in learning to listen to God on a daily basis that we're able to then be ready to hear quickly for something that is urgent in the moment. If we don't have any habit at all of listening to God and waiting on God day to day, it'll be very hard to hear Him in the moment of crisis, even though He's still telling us and talking to us. We need, in the days that we're living right now, we desperately need to hear God. We need to hear God. We need to have that kind of relationship when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we can say, yes, Lord. Remember what the story about Samuel? When he was lying down and the Lord called him and he thought, mine's gone blank.
Yeah,
was calling him. And so, thank you. And he kept getting up and getting up because he knew it was God. And finally he was told, God's calling you. God's calling you. So listen attentively. But you and I have a chair I sit in. And that's my listen to God chair. And it takes time. It takes time to clear the debris of everything that's gone on. Everything that is happening. I don't just sit down and God goes, okay, here you go, John. It didn't happen like that. Sometimes I wish it would, but it doesn't. It takes time to get very quiet, to clean away the things that want to crush in and talk, and hear quietly what God is speaking. Sometimes takes longer than other times. But it's in those moments that you can hear the things that are vitally important for your life. Your life. Because God wants you to succeed. God wants you to succeed. He wants you to prosper and He wants you to be in health. Just as your soul is prospering. But if your soul is burdened down with all kinds of bad things, it can be really hard to prosper. Really hard. Because the soul is what you think. It's where your emotions are. It's where your direction of your life, your will. It just, if that's not doing well, if your soul's not doing well, nothing else will go well. Nothing. We have got to. So it takes time sometimes to just unburden the soul. So usually it's good to sit with pen and paper and let the Holy Spirit speak to us about the things that He needs to bring us to a place of peace. And, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. There are times I've just missed God. Just missed Him. Because I wasn't listening carefully enough. Too busy, too irritated, too something. God won't scream and yell. No, He won't. He's persistent. I remember the time Dave and Faith were out driving and the Spirit of the Lord said to me, pull over and pray for them. And I said, well, yeah, I'll pray for them later on.
Don't you think sometimes we can have a mind made up and think it's God?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, in fact, I think we do that. Regularly. That's why it's hard to really... It brings up a really interesting point that to really hear God clearly, you have to be just willing to hear. You know, it can't be God, I'm willing to hear from you and here's what you're going to say. We have to be willing to hear whatever He's going to say. God cares about us. And He will help us. But today is a day that we really need the Lord. We need... I mean, how many of us here have a need for God to do something right now? Right now. I mean, today. It's not necessarily life and death, but we need it now. That's how important it is. It's important. We must give time to do that. If you want to listen to someone, what do you need to do? You need to sit down quietly, listen to them speak. Right? I mean, if they're sitting there and you're sitting there with them and you got the TV on, the internet's on, music's playing in the background, would you speak to that person? No, why not? They're too busy, yeah. and ignorant, to be honest. When we want God to speak to us, we have to give him opportunity to do so. We really do. We do. And you know, the wonderful thing is God will speak to us. God will speak to us. He will speak clearly to you if given the opportunity. Amen? We really need God. We really do today. We need to pray for the people in our church. We have people who are really suffering right now, who are facing very difficult things and must have God's intervention. Jer, come on back and we'll finish. And like I said, let anyone who would like to put something in the offering, just come ahead and do so as we worship God. And it's okay to tell God you love him. You know that? It's okay to tell him. It's okay to tell God you need him. It's okay to tell God that you're desperate for his intervention in your life.